We made an antiviral fever mitigant type of a product, and that was the goal. Although, because of our previous work, we knew that there was some animal benefits also that could come about from that, but our original focus was the antiviral. So we did some of the work with Dr. Scott D. And his collaborative work where he did the ice block model, and we published that information, and it was successful, and that product's been good on that side of things. But we knew there was animal performance benefits. And so we actually did some work in boars that showed some animal performance effect, in dramatically improved semen production. But also he did a second study that was semen bioquality markers improved also.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Ralco, proven science, practical results.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast. And joining me in our podcast studios for this week's episode is Dr. Brian Rickert, a swine extension specialist in the animal science department at Purdue University, and Dr. Russell Fent, the swine technical director at Ralco. Dr. Fent, we're going to have you kick off the podcast episode here, and it probably makes sense to start at a fairly high level and talk a little bit about your team's research program at Ralco, not just specific to the one project we're going to talk about with Dr. Rickert, but at a high level. You guys have done a lot of research in the discovery area with phytonutrients. You're translating that into practical research that Dr. Rickert will talk to us about here later. But talk to us about, you know, phytonutrients in general. Why has Ralco been interested in it? And, you know, what intrigues you about that category of product opportunities going forward?
Excellent. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dr. Johnson. Appreciate that. So, yeah, just to give you a real brief background, Ralco is a family-owned company. We've been in business about, I think this year's 55 years in the business. But what's interesting, the original founder of Ralco had a really strong lean towards natural-based technology solutions for livestock, probably well ahead of his time in the 70s, right? But that's a lean that Ralco's kept over the years. We still do the typical nutrition and health-based products, but it's something that we've kept as far as natural solutions. And so that really, particularly in the last 25 years, we really dove deep into the areas of these phytonutrient space. And phytonutrients is a big bucket, as you mentioned. There's lots of things that can be involved in that. And so because of that, we get involved in lots of different types of technologies. And so what we've done is, you know, 25 years ago, you know, as we got into that, particularly essential oils and other phytonutrients and soluble fibers, we've built a knowledge base that you have to really start at the ground level, because there wasn't a lot of research at the time, start building that, right? And so you start stacking the information as you go. And the more you learn, the more that you really open up for potential solutions that we can do. And so what that's evolved to is really Ralco's purpose is to, in this space, is to create effective solutions for some of the industry's biggest challenges that we might face, some of those health related or whatever challenges that they might be. And so really we focus on those types of things. And so specifically, we work in areas, like I mentioned, maybe essential oils or soluble fibers and those types of things. And what we did specifically when we got into a particular technology that we'll talk about today is we were looking at, we made a technology as particularly a antiviral feed mitigant. So these phytonutrients over the years through the development, we figured out that different ones have really strong antimicrobial properties or antioxidant or antiviral properties, and you figure out which phytonutrients are better at some things than others, right? And as you learn more, okay, we can start really doing better targeting things. And so we made an antiviral feed mitigant type of a product, and that was the goal. Although, because of our previous work, we knew that there was some animal benefits also that could come about from that, but our original focus was the antiviral. So we did some of the work with Dr. Scott D., and his collaborative work where he did the ice block model, and we published that information, and it was successful, and that product's been good on that side of things. But we knew there was animal performance benefits. And so we actually did some work in boars that showed some animal performance effect in dramatically improved semen production. But also he did a second study that was semen bioquality markers improved also. So that created some excitement there. But we also wanted to connect it to the sow side of things, right? And so that led to us wanting to do some sow research. And we wanted to do it in a place where, you know, commercial type setting. And sow research is hard to do, right, in that type of situation. It takes a lot of investment. But we got with Dr. Rickard and his crew and his lab crew there at Purdue University and looked at an opportunity to do a study. And so that's what we were connecting on today. So I'll just let Dr. Rickard, if you want to go ahead, you can kind of get in and talk about the study that your crew did out in a commercial setting.
At Ralco, we are built to solve the problems that matter most. We work alongside swine producers, veterinarians, and consultants to evaluate production pressures and apply our proven technologies in real-world systems to strengthen animal health, improve performance, and bring stability to the day-to-day demands of farming. Backed by research, field experience, and responsive technical support, we turn complexity into clarity so you can move forward with confidence.
Yeah, so the project, we did it in a 10,000 cell farm, and so we collected data, intensive data, on about 250 liters per treatment. And so looking at that product as a 2-pound inclusion rate from the time point of breeding, so a couple of days after insemination, all the way through the whole lactation period. So we carried that out through the whole cycle. And looking at the pig's performance and trying to look at some of these other benefits, right? So this is what we presented at Midwest Animal Science meetings this week was the lactation performance on those intensive litter data collection. But it's a smaller part of a bigger project where when in conjunction with Dr. Tingting Zhu here at Purdue University in our department, she's our swine microbiology and microbiome person. And so we did some fecal sampling on the sows and the piglets. We collected colostrum. We also pulled some blood on some of, subset of the sows to look at oxidation markers and so looking at reactive oxygen species and so on. But in that data set of the intensive data set of sows, we picked up a slight increase in litter size, 3/10 of a pig. We also increased the actual birth weights, and that's really hard to do biologically to shift that. And so we had fewer lightweight birth pigs, which translated into heavier litter weaning weights and fewer, almost a half a less pig of light weaning weight pigs, right? So pigs under 8 pounds is what we kind of had as our cutoff. So we had more full value pigs at weaning time too. And so the project turned out really, really well from that standpoint of additional benefits in addition to the mitigant side is that there's some shifts that are going on. And so now as we dig into the additional more basic data with the microbiome and looking for shifts there, but also as there's some blood data and the colostrum data, we can try to piece this apart a little bit because the product contains two different components, right? We have an essential oil blend, oregano essential oils that are microencapsulated, and we have a soluble fiber component, right? And so both of those have some biological function. And so this really kind of looks like it's leading down the path of intestinal inflammation and gut health and sow health. And so if we can look at those things and try to kind of pull those pieces apart over the next couple of months as the grad students analyze more data and samples, we'll be able to piece more of that story together. But really hard to do is you know, shift that birth weight and then weaning weights. And then a side benefit of that is that we actually almost cut off a half day and returned to estrus as well. So sows came back faster. And so if I can wean a heavier litter with more of a full value pigs and get her to return quicker, it turned out to be a really good result of what we saw with this project and the value of these products that these natural feed mitigants and products can have in our diets.
I can't help but get nerdy on the data side of it. Like, it sounds really exciting. So the birth weights, Dr. Rickard, did you see the whole population shift a little bit towards higher birth weights, or was it really the low birth weight category of pigs that they shifted up, which impacted obviously the overall average birth weight?
Yeah. So it was more of the shifting the bottom end up, but the the total average increase, a little over a tenth of a body, pound in body weight. But that was mostly pulling up the bottom primarily.
That's huge. I mean, the bottom is the challenge as we continue to make more and more pigs, right? The bottom end pigs were the challenge when we didn't make as many pigs, and they continue to be the challenge when we make a lot of pigs.
Yeah, we averaged just over 16 pigs born alive, right? And so, it's hard to bring that up, but as we have some of these herds bringing in, sows are farrowing, 17, 18, yep. That is a bigger issue every day, right? And so if we can start to piece some things that help that sow through that gestational period, enhance, whether that's through blood flow or through, less intestinal issues and potentially leaky gut issues, so on, that might take nutrients away from her putting it into the piglets, right? So there's all kinds of challenges that we don't have the answers to yet. But I think that's one of those paths that we really want to focus on the sow and work on.
It seems to me that the mechanism of action has to be something with nutrient utilization, because I presume that the sows didn't get fed more feed to make the additional pounds of pig, right? So they have to be using the nutrients more effectively than the counterparts that did not get this product.
Exactly, right? They were all on ESF systems, right? So every sow was adjusted based on her body condition, but the average was the same, right? The feed intakes are all averaged out identical through gestation. So how is she partitioning those nutrients and what is she doing with them?
Did you see a parity impact on that wean to service interval? Was it specifically the parity ones that you were able to improve, or you just saw a slight increase in all of them?
Yeah, there was more effect on the younger parities than the older parities. But there was a little bit of a parity effect there and a little bit difference, which makes some sense, right? That younger female is really stressed. She's going through a gestational lactation. She's coming out a little thinner. And so it makes biological sense, right? That we'll have a little bit more influence there.
If this is available right now, we'd be doing a disservice to the people if we didn't tell them what it was, how to use it. So by all means, Dr. Fent, please.
Yeah, so this is a product that is available today. It's called Dual Defender is the name of it. Interestingly, we named it that originally because we thought there would be some other benefits, right? So that's that dual function. But it's a 2-pound, it's a dry product, it's a natural product, and it's a 2-pound per ton inclusion rate, which is nice, right? It's dry and it's a low inclusion. But that's available today. And that's the work that we did all through that process there. So, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing that information. It is exciting that we got a product that not only serves the original purpose, right, the biosecurity value proposition of a feed mitigant, but also has some production benefits that are icing on the cake, if nothing else. And they're pretty good icing on the cake if they address those problems. It's tremendous research. I love the application of science into discovery research that then goes out to the commercial industry. It's the right way to develop solutions. And I applaud you both for doing it. Thank you both for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Excellent. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we got to thank the audience. We certainly could not do it if it wasn't for them. Thank you to the folks that are out there listening in. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do. Please take a moment to share this good information with somebody. I know all of us know some sow farm out there that would love to have a solution for low viability pigs at birth, lightweight pigs at birth, lightweight pigs at weaning. We all have a place where we could use this. So please share this information. Go check out our website at swinehealthblackbelt.com, where you can find this episode along with all the other ones that we do. For Dr. Russell Fent and Dr. Brian Rickert, I'm Clayton Johnson. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.